When the culture feels like King Herod's court and Washington drifts from biblical justice, it's easy to wonder if God still hears our prayers. In Luke chapter 1, Zacharias and Elizabeth live through long seasons of disappointment, yet God quietly prepares a miracle and a forerunner, John the Baptist, to fulfill his word. This devotional invites you to trade fear, frustration, and political anxiety for confidence in God's unshakable faithfulness to his promises. If he was faithful then, he'll be faithful now, in your life and in the public square. So let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. We are in our series in the book of Luke, and it's getting to know Jesus. Do you think, I think anyways, that if our culture knew Jesus more, they would be and we would be fully transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. So I hope you're enjoying this series. If you are, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, or comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Actions, thank you so very much for your generosity. You're helping us accomplish our goal to change the heart, which changes the public square. All right, today's reading is going to be in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And I want to talk to you about a problem. Sometimes righteous people, right, we're living in a state where we love Jesus Christ and we want to serve him with all of our heart. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are made righteous in his sight, have a deep longing for that righteousness to be played out in the public square. And sometimes we have some disappointment when we see that, there are events and there are things in our culture and in our government that are contrary to the word of God. Well, we're going to look at John the Baptist's parents today in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25, I think it is. And remember that sometimes we live with those long-term disappointments, and how do we handle it? So you say, well, what's an example of that? Well, for instance, it's very, very disappointing to me that right now in Washington state, we are attempting to have an income tax flow across to our state. Now, they call it a millionaire's tax, but we know eventually it's going to be all people. So that's disappointing to me, because we've been a state that said we are not going to segregate people off based upon income and do certain taxes for certain individuals. Our Constitution talks about that. The Bible talks about that. And so that's a disappointing thought. So sometimes when we look at these disappointments and they're long-term because we don't see God's faithfulness showing up, we get a little bit of a lack of hope. So let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and see about Elizabeth and Zacharias and their disappointment. It says, in the days of King Herod of Judah, there was a priest named Zacharias in the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the law. Now, I love this because this story takes place prior to Jesus's death, burial, resurrection, and his righteousness imputed upon us or upon them. But yet they walked blameless in the sight of God because they obeyed the commandments and the requirements that the Lord had set out for them. So I think that this is a challenge to us personally. When we are in a situation where we're living like in the days of Herod, an unrighteous king, that we can still walk blameless and in righteousness based upon our faith in Jesus Christ. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now, it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside the hour of the incense offering. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias, saying, standing to the right of the altar of incense, and says, Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. I love this because sometimes when we're living in these days and we're seeing unrighteousness prevail, like King Herod, we're seeing our circumstances not change. And here's this angel saying, God hears our prayers. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. So this is John the Baptist. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice in his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in your mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. Wow. Heart change for policy change, you might say. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord your God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I think that that is what we're doing today. We're making ready a people prepared for the Lord. You say, wait, how does this have to do with Washington state income tax? How does this have to do? Well, God loves justice. He loves righteousness. He loves people treated equally underneath the laws that we make. And I look at this, and so we're preparing our hearts to be faithful stewards of what God has entrusted to us. So Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." Ooh, Gabriel shows up. "And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the days when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." The people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Now, I know this story may be, you know, you're like thinking, what, how does this all apply to where we are today? And, you know, we know that Luke is investigating everything for Zacharias. So think about this. King Herod, he was a king that didn't honor God. In fact, we see that he is going to try to eventually kill off a whole bunch of the babies, that kind of thing. We have Zacharias, who's a religious leader. We have Elizabeth, who's barren. And we're like, these three things all are coming into play here. And yet God fulfills his faithfulness to Elizabeth and to Zacharias. Faithful obedience in long seasons of unanswered prayers and apparent disappointment. Think about that. You may be wondering, is God going to be faithful to his word? So let's start out with the spiritual part. God will be faithful to save us, right? And we're not saved by an elected official. We're not saved by having the right laws. We're not saved by all this. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. God will be faithful to that. And God will be faithful to one of two things, either rejuvenating Washington State to be a place that honors and glorifies God, or disciplining us to come back into that place so that we will honor and glorify God. He's faithful to his word. We can see it over and over and over again that he chastens or disciplines those in whom he loves. So when you are thinking about how do I move in the public square today, remember that God is faithful to his promises as we go. So we don't need to have fear, but we can trust in the Lord. We don't need to try to control our circumstances, but we can surrender to God. And maybe there's something that's causing disgrace and feels like a lack of favor. We don't need to be in despair because we need a hope in whom we have believed, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our risen Savior. And so to move in those things, to take the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth and John the Baptist and really understand that if God was faithful then, and you say faithful to what? Well, remember, this forerunner in verse 17, go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. So this is fulfilling. John the Baptist was a fulfillment of prophecy. And so we can stand and know that God is faithful to his word, that he who began a good work is faithful to complete it to that day of redemption. So tomorrow we're going to talk about Jesus showing up because we're learning about who Jesus is and getting to know Jesus a little bit. But we know that Jesus had a forerunner, John the Baptist. And that should be a great encouragement to you. I hope this will give you a little bit of hope today, and that when you think about it, that you'll continue in the righteousness of serving Jesus, not in self-righteousness, but in righteousness that is given to us by the blood of Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the story of Zacharias, Elizabeth, and John the Baptist. We thank you that you are faithful to your word, even in long seasons, that you have been quiet, that you have seemed to be absent. Lord, we know that you are here. You are there for Elizabeth and Zacharias. We thank you that you are there for John the Baptist. We thank you that you fulfill your words, God. So, Lord, we pray over our state. We pray that your faithfulness will begin to flow over the state, that redemption would come to our elected officials and to those around us, that the public square would become a place that honors and glorifies you, God. God, would you bring us back to you in such a way? Would you cause revival in our hearts, God? God, we know that each one of these prayers we learn from Gabriel goes in these petitions, you hear them. So God, we talk to you today about them, and we give you all of our fear, anxiety, frustration. We say it is yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.